You, everybody have a good week this week? A little chilly side, a little on the rainy side, but still, with all of that, God is still great. Like I said many times before, he's better to me and I can be to him. But I just want to thank him this morning for allowing me to be able to get up on this special day that here in the United States that we've set apart, that set aside that people could come out and just be reminded what all he done for us. Because it was at Calvary where it all started at for me and you. For me and you, that's where it started at, when the resurrection. Which the resurrection means salvation to all man. And you know, really and truthfully, there's nothing that I like to preach about, but you know, think about the resurrection. But you know, he is the one that I desire to serve. And I desire to serve him the rest of the time he has for me here on earth. Because that's the reason he saved me. To go about carrying on what he had started that so many years ago. And the ones that's after he had risen from the grave and went back to heaven. He raised up some while he was here on earth and to carry the gospel, and then they carried it out. And look at all the ones that's come about since then. All the ones that's come since then. You know, Irene, probably one of my favorite writers in the book, and here in God's Word, he penned it down, but he had the help of the Holy Spirit, and that's my brother in the Lord, and that's Paul. You know, Paul's our brother. And I love his writings. I just love the Word of God, but really Paul's writings. I think what it does, it relates to us a little more. But with all that in mind, it's nothing else that I know of that I'd rather be doing today than standing right here. I know that there's going to be people like here, they're going to race, I don't know if they got a races or not, but they probably have, and going and having races and all of that, and they doing what they call their thing. Well, if that's what they want to call it, I'm here doing my thing. I'm doing what God wants me to do. But with all of that in mind, and I just want to ask all of you, and I don't want you to raise your hand because I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody, but if you're saved this morning, if you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, we are not supposed to be just people that will just come to church and then do nothing else. We're supposed to be workers for him. And I believe today the fields are white unto harvest. But they need some laborers to go out here. And you say, well, preacher, what can I do? With God's help, you can do anything. With God's help, I can do anything. But without God, I can't do nothing. Without God, you can't do nothing. But we know that God wants his ministry to keep on going. Because I see over here in John chapter 15, which this is not, I want you to turn to the chapter 19, where in 20 is where we'll be at this morning. But it says right here in chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. It doesn't say anything about for his friend. That he laid down his life for his friends. Many individuals. And who are his friends? The ones that God has created from the dust of this earth. That's who Jesus is speaking about. That they are his friends, and that's when he was hanging on the cross. And he loved me that much. He loved me when I was out here using his name in vain. He loved me when I was out here doing all the things the devil wanted me to do. And he loves me today. But back then, I didn't know anything about his love. I didn't know anything about the type of love that he had. But once I came to him, and it says in verse 16, that says, ye have not chosen me. I won't seeking after Jesus. I won't looking for him. But it says, but I have chosen you. Jesus came right where I was at. Jesus came right where you was at. You know where that was at? At the lowest point in our life. Like some black preacher said, he says, he come when I was so low, crawling on the ground, that if the snake wanted to go under me, the snake could be just as flat as it could be, and the snake would still have to go over me. He couldn't get under me because I was so low. And we all was at that point one time in our life. But I'm so thankful that I can say this morning that I'm a child of the King. I'm saved by the grace of God. Can you say that this morning? My prayer is that you can, and I believe that you can. You're the one that's been faithful. You're the one that's helped. You're the glue that's held the church together. But here this morning, if you will, turn to the chapter 19. I got one verse of scripture. I want to read that, and I'm going to go into chapter 20. Chapter 20. But it says right here in verse 19, it says, in verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. Verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there blood and water. See, the scripture right there was fulfilled, because we can go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21 and verse 23, there, where it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and was speaking about where there would be no bones broken. None of the bones, nothing would be broken with him. With his spirit wouldn't even be broken. They tried to. They tried to do everything they could for him to deny that he was a Savior. That he would deny that he was the Messiah, and that he would deny God. But he could not deny God, and he could not deny that he was the Messiah or the Savior. Because he says, I came into this world to what? To save sinners. I came into this world to be a propitiation, in other words, a substitute for the individual. And I'm so thankful that he was my substitute there at Calvary. But in verse chapter 20, in verse 1, the resurrection of Jesus Christ says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they lay him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. It was Peter and John. That the other disciple was John. So they ran together, both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciples which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. Verse 6 and verse 7 says, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothes lie. They had come in. Peter and John had been told about the stone that had been rolled away by Mary Magdalene and Martha. They had been told about the stone that was rolled away. They made sure that the soldiers or somebody had come by and stolen the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Roman soldiers thought, that somebody had stolen the body of Jesus Christ. And the reason they thought that was because that they knew that somebody would probably try that. That's the reason that they had the Roman soldiers. That's the reason that they had the guards outside to guard the tomb, to guard it to where nobody could not come by and roll that stone away. See, he didn't have to move the stone. The stone did not have to be moved for the Lord Jesus to come forth. He could have just came forth right out of the earth. He didn't have to come out of the entrance, walking out of the entrance where he went in. But he done it for a reason and for a purpose. He done it for the reason for the people that they would see that he was not there. Because they knew that the Roman soldiers weren't going to move his stone. And they didn't have nobody really to help them move his stone, because the stone that was there was huge. And I'd read someplace how many tons they said it must have weighed, and I don't have it written down, but they said it weighed that much in tons. He didn't have to come through that way. The angel from heaven came down. The angel from heaven is the one that moved that stone where Jesus Christ would come forth out of the grave. He would conquer death, hell, and the grave. He would conquer death for me and you. That we would not have to face death. And we don't have to face death. If you've never been saved, you don't have to face death. All you have to do is just come and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And He can be the light in your life. He can be the one that walks with you and talks with you and leads you down the roadway. And you need to follow Him. I need to follow Him, because see, if I don't follow Him, the devil himself is going to put a roadblock out there in front of me and in front of you. Yes. I'm supposed to, like I said the other week, on a Sunday night, or Wednesday, whatever it was, Sunday night, I think it was, when I said something about the individuals, the horses and the mules, when they went back, plowing, when they used them in the field to plow, when they harnessed them and when they put the bridle on, they just have a bridle left just to turn them in what way they went. They didn't even turn. They didn't have to turn of this way or that way for the horse or the mule to go that way or that way. Only thing that they done is they harnessed him up, they put the bridle on him, and he had him leather. Looks like a real passion. The song called Blinded. Put that, put them on now. Did they have them on here like that? Nope. Why? Because once he started down that road, he'll fly with me. Then maybe a bird fly by, something like that, he'd hear something, and he could build a turn and look. And then he would go that way or that way. But now he had him blind to spread ahead. He could not see to his right or his left. He was focused on what he was supposed to do. He was focusing on the job at hand. And we must be focused on the job at hand. We can be focused on the job at hand, and we must follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because if we don't, then the next thing you know, we're going to be walking down here. We're going to be following Jesus. And the next thing, we're going to hear something. Uh-oh. Or then you may start back out, and the devil can look along the way. You're going to trip and you're going to stumble. And like today, with my knee replacement and this weak leg that I got over here, It don't take much for me to stumble and fall. But I don't want to just stumble and fall because of what Satan wants me to do. If I stumble and fall, I want to be able to make sure I can get back up, I can dust myself off, and I can keep straight on for the Lord Jesus Christ. But his lily robe was laid right down in one specific place where his body was. Y'all seen the, I don't know what they're really called, anything, but they got these cocoons out here where it looks like some spray. You got kind of hard and all that. Don't look too pretty to the eye. But then when
they went in that, and they made sure that he was still there because they seen where the living bug was laying, and it had not been messed up, the light was there coming and unwrapped. So they knew that it was not stolen. Because see, if somebody come in and steal him, what's going to do? They're going to probably unwrap him. The way he could feel his feet and walk out. No, he can't pull out of the door. And then close. But what's the most important thing? Gift was not just taken off and just threw over that. Another napkin was He's coming back after who? He's coming back after his own. Who is the own? Me and you. The ones that are called by his name. The one that he has called, the one that he has chosen, the one he has searched out, the one he has dealt with. You know, you don't see many. How many of you ever heard anybody preach on or even heard the word chastise? You don't hear much of that anymore. You don't hear that much anymore about, well, God's people. God will chastise his people. Well, why would he do that?
Because he loves them. He loves them. That's the reason he will do it.
But you know, even here in the United States of America, we have church services. But you know, you can go in West Virginia and you can get on Interstate 77 there. And you can ride down through Interstate 77, down through West Virginia and Virginia, and then down through the Carolinas, and then to South Carolina and Georgia. And every few miles you'll see up on a hillside somewhere. Well, somebody's placed three crosses there that will remind us that he lives, that he is real. It's not no figment of imagination. That's what we think. We think we just imagine them things. I don't imagine the Lord Jesus Christ. He is real. He is in my heart. And I know he's real. But I will say this much in saying that, in the life that he's allowed me to observe and to follow him and serve him and do what he's wanted me to do. And it is, he is, yes, I've been whipped by him. I've had chastisement upon me. Yeah, he whips me. But why does he do that? Because he loves me. But in all the things that I've been through in my life, since I've been saved, to come right down to the end of the road and come to find out that what I've always read, what I've always preached about, there's nothing new. I wouldn't change nothing. I wouldn't change a thing. But see, I know there's something new. Because the same individual that lived in my heart for 30 years there is not living there any longer. Somebody different is living there. Not only we've seen where he was wrapped, and not only we have seen where his coming back, but we can also see where here in verse 34 in chapter 19, where the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ flowed from his body that day on Calvary. Why? But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came that blood and water. He didn't have a speck of blood. He didn't have a speck with a liquid or nothing running through his veins at all. There's a particular name that the doctors use for that word water there, and I can't pronounce it. But he lost all of what was inside of him. And I believe that when he was hanging there, and I believe what actually took his life, which we know the scripture says that he freely gave his life, that they did not take it. No one took his life. The soldiers did not take his life. But I believe he died with a broken heart. I believe he died with a broken heart. Why? Because of me and you. Because of the people around us, the world itself. And I believe the day that the Lord Jesus Christ right now is in heaven, and he's weeping over his people. Why? Because it's been a long time since he's heard from some of them. A long time since he's heard from some of them. Over in the book of Malachi, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, it was 400 years before God had ever spoken to the Israelites once again. 400 years that they didn't hear a thing from God. Would you want to go all year and not even hear anything from God? Would you? Would you want to go a month without hearing anything from God?
Nope, I wouldn't.
Would I want to go a week without hearing anything from God? No. Would I want to go a day without hearing anything from God? No. I don't even want to go an hour without hearing from him. But we hear from him. You know how we can hear from him? You know how he can speak to our hearts today? Pick this right here up and read it. And when we read it, he speaks to us. He speaks to us when we read his precious word. And then not only that, he will speak to us with his precious word, and we will hear from him as he speaks to us. But then after he speaks to us, then he will hear from us. We'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me back to where I used to be. Thank you, Lord, for just bringing me back to where I once was. I don't want to go a day without talking to him. But his blood paid the ultimate price. It paid the ultimate price. There's nothing else that he could have done. He could have had his arms cut off. He could have had both of his legs cut off. He could have had his eyes plucked out. Still wouldn't have sacrificed. It had to be a blood offering. It had to be a blood offering. Why? Because in the Old Testament, it's what this is done back then. They came and they brought a blood offering once a year. And the individual that came and brought that sheep or goat, whatever it was at that time, and brought it, they had to have it slain. And they took the blood and gave it to the high priest. And then after all of that, then after everybody had come through and come to the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and say, "Lord, here's their sacrifice. Forgive them." And they would have to wait a year before they could ever go back. But then Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, and when he came, that veil was rent or torn, whichever you want to say it, not from the bottom up, but from the top down. It was done for me. It was done for you. We need to get back to our first love. Can you remember? Can you go back and remember when you fell in love with Jesus? I can go back to the time that he saved me when I fell in love with him. I wanted to go and tell everybody. I wanted to just tell everybody. I mean, even where I worked at, the owner. I mean, I even shared it with him. I got saved on a Monday night, Tuesday morning when I got to work, which I shared it with my supervisor. He was a good friend of mine in the house, Brother Robert Roberts, and he was, he'd been praying for me for years. But the owner of the company, when he come in about 9:30 that morning, he come over there at the counter. He says, "Donnie," he said, "what's happened?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Something is different about you this morning." I said, "Well, since you asked, I want to tell you." I said, "I got saved last night." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I got saved last night. Been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb." He says, "That's impossible. It's impossible." He said, "He ain't come the first time." He was a Jew. "Well, you think it bothered me?" No. I was telling everybody I could. I was telling my stepfather. I was telling my brothers and everything. I was telling anybody that I could just speak to. I was telling them. Why? Because I was in love with Jesus. And that was more than when I fell in love with my wife. When I fell in love with my wife, what did I do then? I went and I was really struggling with asking if she'd marry me, because I thought she'd say no. That's what I thought the whole time. We've been together for 3 weeks. That's all I knew, 3 weeks. And I asked her to marry me, and she accepted. 3 months later, we got married. This December, we've been married 44 years. When God is in a marriage, when God is in anything in an individual's life, something else is going to take hold. Something else is going to happen. And I thank God every day for her. You know, Jesus Christ, He's the solid rock of my life. He's my spiritual rock that I can depend on. But I also believe that an individual here on earth needs somebody that can be their natural rock. That can tell you what you're doing is wrong. And they can tell you when you're doing things right. And I got a daughter now. I don't have to worry about my wife. But I can be in a pity me party. And I'm gonna tell you now, when I get into a pity me party, now I get in a pity me party. I mean, if you want to see a pity me party, where the genuine pity me party come from, you can. You ever see me getting one, you know it. But I'll tell you one thing. My daughter, I ain't gonna walk around long in a pity me party with her. Because she gonna tell me, she said, Daddy, you gotta straighten up now. I thank God for the people that has come in my life since I've been saved. My family never quits growing. Somebody come in new that I've never met before, and they tell me that they're a child of God. I say, hey, how you doing, long lost brother, long lost sister? I don't know why, I haven't seen you, but I'm glad we got to meet once again. God's been good to me. God's been better to me than I ever deserved. I don't deserve that lady back there. I don't deserve anything. Only thing I deserve is hell. But all because of Jesus willingly to go to the cross and be lifted up between heaven and earth and then be buried in a barred tomb, where he did not have no place to lay his head. But there was somebody that was willing to let him bar their tomb. Are we willing to allow the Lord Jesus to take our life and use it for whatever he wants us to use it for? If we can just surrender our life over to him and say, God, here I am. Whatever you want from me, it's yours. You take it and you do what you have to. We don't have to make no promises or nothing. All we have to say, yes, God, here I am, whatever you want. You use it. See, he can use us in ways that we less expect. We can't comprehend where God wants us to go. We can't comprehend what God wants us to do.
Me and Brother Bill, we've been talking. And I believe, and I've been praying hard, and I got other people's praying also. I believe that God is about to do something at Faith Baptist Church. Not because of me, and not because of you. Because of His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of your faithfulness to Him. See, it took more than you for your faithfulness to be to Him. But I believe in my heart that some, and I don't know when it's going to take place, but I know this. The Bible says, when we least expect it. When we think that when we make it to the point well, you know, we still got this 8 or 10 coming. Just don't think so. Just, you know, look like we're just going to have to kind of maybe have to, because we don't have the money to put a utility bill. We ain't even got enough, ain't going to have enough money to go buy this. We ain't got enough money to do this.
God's going to come in. God's going to turn it upside down, sideways. I believe it's going to happen. I believe that in my heart and my soul. I do. And if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. Because I've had too many questions that just hang out. Stay faithful to God. Just hanging out. They pray. They'll help you pray in the church.
How many of you would agree with me that you say, preacher? I know maybe in the past that, yes, I've been wanting to, for the church to do something. But maybe I really didn't have the faith that I really thought I had. Is anyone like that? The faith.
And I'm going to bring it up again, and I'll bring it up again, and I'll bring it up again until the day I die of it. Until the day it carries me home, I'm going to go.
That we're going to trust God that not only is He going to fill a few up back there, but He's going to fill the choir back up. Take a little mustard seed and trust God that, hey, hallelujah, God, one day there's going to come a day when we're going to have some people in the choir and they're going to be singing for Thee. And we're going to see people like that. Huh? We're going to see people. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it. It's my last breath in my soul, I believe it. If God wants to do that, and I don't want to be the hindrance. I don't want to be the one in the way. I don't want to be the one that stops anything. But we've got to keep on going. There's people driving down this highway. There's people parked across the street, up the road, down the road, or whatever. They may say, well, yeah, I got saved. But you know, I got hurt in church or whatever. I just got out of church. Well, hey. City of Jericho is right. So they're going to tell me, well, I can't go in there. Not, you know, people in the church. Well, where ain't God finding a church? Where ain't God, you go to that church, you go to find out they ain't preaching what you like, then you find somewhere else. You find somewhere to go. To where we can come.
gonna close, man. I know that. Next Sunday, I'm gonna find my very best about you. I'm gonna pray. Come back. Maybe for your eyes. Or must see. If you're here next Sunday, I would love for you to help me to take the seed.
Go
Because if you was, I believe you'd have carried the chariot home. But Father, we need to be about our business. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you. And we want to love you. Be with us as we go out this week. So we may say a kind word to you. We just ask you to go to church somewhere every time. Just invite you to church. We just want to know that you're praying for us. Father, we love you. And we love your son.
Jesus is calling. 247. 247. Let's everybody stand. Jesus is calling.